Yo. We are the Levi's Wise Guys. Your boy Shay got my boy.
Too Deezy. A Sheezy. It's way too easy. From RGM Measy.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Talk to him.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Talk to him, Keith.
Talk heavy. It's like, nah. Let me chill. This is another episode of the Ill-Advised Wise Guys. Thank you guys so much for pulling up on us once again. If you're new here, stay a while. And if you've been here before, you know, stay longer, pull a lawn chair up. I know you already subscribed because that's why you're back. But while you're at it, hit that like button if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're watching this or listening to this, I should say, on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button. We are on our way up. Q, I'm feeling good today, man.
I feel great.
Feeling good. How you feeling?
I feel amazing.
You feeling good?
I got the Balenci on. You know,
Balenci.
You know,
Balenci.
Let me teach y'all a lesson. Never wash it. It says don't wash. Mm. It says it in big, bold letters.
Got you.
I washed it. I was like, I'm not going to dry it.
I hear you.
I washed it. That joint shrunk.
Damn.
That hey, it went from medium to small.
Thank you for giving them the history lesson and
I'm still
knowledge.
Gonna rock it though.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes.
Anyway, guys, we have a special. Hey, listen, let's intro the guest, man. We got a special guest on this podcast. He is a up and coming content creator, entrepreneur. He has his own platform called Diamond Cuts Media. Really cool dude, man. I'm very curious for you guys to check out this conversation we're about to have. Nonetheless, his name is T. Say what's up, bro.
What's up, man? Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate it. Checked out the episode, checked out the page, love what you guys doing. So, and I'm excited to be here today. And then just one thing, it's Diamond Cut, just K-U-T, no S, media.
I'm tripping. See, I did what all black people do, add S's on to everything. Right? Like, why everybody calls Joe Budden Joe Buddens from New York? Well, what's up with that?
Joe Buddens.
I don't know. Like you said,
Joe Buddens. Kroger's. Yeah. Nah, like it's Kroger, like the grocery store. It's Kroger. Anyway, my fault. Yeah, y'all go to the Instagram page, his website, y'all tap in. He covers a lot of up and coming talent from New York City and also just, you know, the globe,
the greatest city in the world. Anytime you say New York City, you got to say the greatest city in the world.
Do we?
I love France.
We got to say that.
I love Chicago. I mean, I love Paris. I love Chicago. I love DC. But New York City is the greatest city in the world.
I'll let you get that off. Yeah. I'll let you get it off.
Greatest.
I can't debate that. I can't.
You can't?
No, I can't.
Thank you.
Listen, I know T, you're not going to debate that, right? You agree with him, right?
Oh, definitely.
Like, actually, you have to say that or you might get ran out, possibly. Yes, right,
yeah, right. He runs New York. What are you talking about?
Oh man. Hey, let's before we get into the again, like I told you before, and those of you guys who are listening, we got a jam-packed show, bunch of topics, very controversial topics probably. But before we get into that, let's talk about some of the announcements. Q,
let's get
to it.
Check out Ratings Game Music .com, aka RGM.
Yeah.
Very, very light couple of weeks of album releases, but I did do an album review for Compliments of Gravedigger Mountain by NBA YoungBoy and his Never Broke Again crew. And then there was a couple songs that came out. Russ and DJ Premier had a song that I thought was pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another big release that, oh, Four Bats and Drake.
Yes.
They dropped Act 2, Remake. Date at 8. Yes. Check that out. And then also we premiered something called Album Power Rankings, which what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a playoff at the end of the year between the top 16 albums of the year. So every month we're going to update this list mm-hmm. with the best albums. And then at the end of the year, we're going to have like a contest between to find, you know, the best album of the year, which, you know, we're going to hope that the readers pick. So check out ratingsgamemusic.com. We got some cool stuff going on and check out that power rankings. It's really dope. Really dope.
Yes, sir. I stamped that ratingsgamemusic.com. Y'all check that out, man. Absolutely. Also, as I always say on every episode, y'all make sure to tap into Zero Skips, the mother effing playlist. And like some of the OGs used to say back in the day when they're promoting music, in stores now. Okay, y'all go check out the playlist. It's in stores, aka on Spotify. All right, Anyway, we just added a bunch of songs to our playlist. Yes. Most notably, there's a record by a gentleman named Jaristotle. He dropped a song called Make Some Changes. Q, you and I, we heard the song right before.
Yes, sir.
Very uplifting record. Sounded very much so like Tupac Changes. Mm-hmm. He was dropping some game, wasn't he?
He had the Pac cadence.
He had the Pac cadence.
Know, which was dope to hear.
Absolutely.
I'm always a fan of songs that are positive. And like, you know, his words was just mad positive on the song. But then also like he spitting. So yeah. It's like if you're a fan of hip hop and you're a fan of positivity, you're going to rock with the song.
No, definitely. And he's a dope rapper. Like, mm-hmm. I could tell, like, he really is a songwriter. He's somebody who's really tapped into the craft, if you will. So, you know, if you guys are really into old school, not old school, but just contemporary. I want to use that word. Contemporary hip-hop. Traditional hip-hop. If you a hip-hop head, you really going to enjoy that record a lot.
Vintage hip-hop.
Vintage hip-hop.
Authentic.
There you go.
See, that's when I get mad. Man, that's authentic hip-hop.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all check him out. Jaristotle also, Jaristotle.com. He has a bunch of gifts for you guys to check out. Again, on the playlist right now. There's also another record called Never Be Fine by a gentleman by the name of It's Just Zay. You know, we heard that song again multiple times, but also right before the podcast. Mm-hmm. I thought he was floating on that, man. Like, he had a really dynamic flow, was talking about some real-ish, very mellow beats. And his flow was just dynamic to me, man.
Smooth track.
That one's high on our playlist, man.
Smooth like Gary Coleman. Gary Coleman hair. Remember Barbershop? Come on, you know that Barbershop quote.
Chill out, man. That was Cedric.
Yeah, that was Cedric. He said, real, real smooth like Gary Coleman.
chill, man. Anyway, y'all check out that song as well on the playlist. Again, in stores now, aka on Spotify. Now let's get to it.
Yes, sir.
T, you still with us, man? Hey, we gonna come out shooting, bro. We coming out shooting, okay? We gonna be talking about Four Bats. You know, the gentleman who's really just came out of nowhere and is shocking the hip hop world, the music world. Just got a feature from Drake. I know a lot of people are really getting turned on to his music and who he is and his movement. We're definitely gonna be talking about him. Will his formula work? You know, where did he come from? Does this guy have longevity? We're gonna get to that. We're also gonna be talking about ageism in just relationships. You know, we see a lot of people who have huge age gaps, right, in their relationships. Recently, Michelle, I believe she was formerly on Basketball Wives, right, or something like that. Yes. She just announced pregnancy from Jalen Green, who plays for the Houston Rockets. Their age gap is crazy. I believe it's like 17, 18 years. We're going to talk about it, man, because, you know, and I wish there was a woman on this episode because I think the convo would have been even more dynamic. But nonetheless, when we post these on socials, it's going to be real fun, I think. Nonetheless, we're going to be getting at that as well. We're also going to be talking about Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg said he got paid $45,000 for getting 1 billion streams on his song. Yeah, man. I must say that is not a good feat. And it actually, dare I say, discourages up and coming artists. Like, bro, how can you hear that and still want to make music? No, I'm dead ass. Like, this is a real question. Like, because it just doesn't seem to be a
love of music. Maybe.
Well, I guess monetizing. How can you decide to make money and make it a living? That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it kind of
starts
like
selling bootleg CDs again.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a bunch of topics, but first we got to start out with this Four Bats discussion. You know, y'all heard the remix. Drake just jumped on, like you said before, Act Two, Date at 8, the remix. And I just found out that Drake actually signed, you told me last night.
Yep.
Believe, right? That Drake signed
an EP deal
with Four Bats, right? Yeah. To put out that song and also, I guess, what he's putting out next, I should say. And so, T, what do you think about Four Bats, man? Does he have longevity?
That's tough to answer. I can't even really answer that now because all I've heard so far are the acts. And I would say, like, I guess he has potential, definitely. He got the EP deal with Drake, got a Drake feature. And if we know Drake, just like historically, he always kind of jumps on like the next wave right before it happens. So maybe Four Bats, you know, he probably has some crazy shit that we haven't heard yet. Drake was probably like, yeah, this is, you know, kind of crazy. So I'm gonna go with, I'm gonna say yes for now. He has a lot of hype, and he has a lot of hate and hype. Yeah. So.
What's the hate? Okay, Q, what you? I'm gonna jump to you next. Mm-hmm. What you say? Well, T, you say hate.
Yeah.
Q, do you see that too? Do you see hate towards Four Bats, or like is it more
that
love?
People that don't like him?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? I just found out about him last week. So, I mean, you told me about him. So
yeah, talk.
What's
talk
important,
to me.
I think, about him is, you know, how people describe, you know, who he is. So, like me and Uche, we went to a bar, you know, and just passively talking about, like, you know, random stuff, and he mentioned Four Bats to me. I was drinking, by the way. So when he was describing Four Bats,
you were at a bar.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people get just chicken wings and coke at a bar, but drinking, right? And you described Four Bats to me as a dude that looks like a goon, right? But then has a voice that's like Brent Faiyaz.
Yes.
That's exactly how you described it. I thought the drink was getting to me. I was like, I don't know what the hell this guy is talking about or what he's saying right now.
Yeah.
And then I actually got a chance to look at him. And yeah, he looks his persona. And even he did that, you know, performance where he had the hood behind him.
Mm.
It looks like he, like you walk past him and you tuck your wallet. Like, you're like, yo, this dude robbed me. Cause you know, he got the shiesty.
Yeah.
You know, and then he just don't look happy. But then you hear his voice. And it's just like smooth melodies. I believe it's altered. It got to be altered.
Right.
Smooth melodies. He's talking about, you know, I'm about to spoil a chick with like all this stuff, like love.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about love, but he's looking like a foot soldier or Ninja Turtles. You know what I mean? Like, just like, so it's an interesting persona. It's an interesting brand that he's, you know, showing people. And so, you know, I don't know how long this, because at the end of the day, is it a gimmick? Is it a gimmick?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And if it is a gimmick,
yeah,
can he keep this gimmick going for a long time? And I don't know. But I do hear from, sorry, let's go real quick.
No, for sure.
I do hear talent. So out of all the things that I just mentioned, gimmick, image, all that, the most important thing is talent, and I do hear talent there. So I do think he has a chance to be, you know, have a long career.
I agree with both of y'all. Like, I think that first and foremost, bro, whoever's on his marketing team is like operating at like a legendary level. Right? Like, if this was the NBA, like, whoever's on his marketing team averages 50 points a game. Like, that's how crazy this guy's marketing is, from the imagery to the releases, the releasing of music to the where you kind of see him in spots. Like, I mean, look, this guy only has 3 songs published to his name.
Yep.
It's so crazy. Like I said,
if you count in the remix.
Okay, but fine. We'll say 3.5.
Yes.
That's a half.
Yes. Yeah.
But like, my thing is this, like, there's a whole conversation about whether this guy is an industry plant or not. And listen, we use that term a lot as a society, industry plant. There was one point where people were saying, is Russ an industry plant? Mm-hmm. Which, on the surface, if you don't know who Russ is as a rapper and as an artist, right, you might think that. But when you do your history and do the knowledge, you see this guy selling out arenas. He's been putting out music for over a decade, right? The track record is there, right? And so to me, that debunks this whole industry plant claim. Whereas with Four Bats, yo, I went and did some searching. He don't got no music on SoundCloud. He don't got no back catalog on My Mixtapes. He don't got no back catalog on Dat Piff. Go name all the platforms where people be putting out, you know, the music they made before they got popping. Mm-hmm. Bro, there's nothing. It's just 3 records. And I think that, like, it leads more credence to the industry plant argument. But I mean, listen, at the end of the day, like you said, bro, he has talent. Mm-hmm. Like, it's undeniable. And it makes me appreciate, it should make people appreciate Brent Faiyaz more. Mm. Because, you know, what's so interesting is how, T, you mentioned earlier, you said Drake be hopping on waves, right, before they pop off. And did Drake ever make a record with Brent Faiyaz? I don't think he did.
Of course he did.
When?
What are you talking about? He got this song. This song that sounds like Neptune's. I think it's Neptune's.
Yeah, From Time, I think. You know, or something.
Yeah.
That's
Yes.
As long as I see.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. No, you're absolutely right. But yeah. It made me, like, this feature on his remix made me think, like, damn, like, has Drake even collabed with Brent for this whole sound? But yeah. I'm glad you got, you're good point.
I forgot
the
name of the song, but, like, it's a commercial hit.
But no, like, listen, there's some question marks, though, I have about this guy, right? Like, my thing is, how will he sound live?
Mm.
You know, like, with this kind of voice, how will he sound live as a, you know, performer, right?
They say he's never performed.
Can he perform at all? He's never even performed.
Yeah. That's where, when you're signed to a label, that's the point of, or at least for me, if I was an artist, that's what I would sign to a label for, to develop me in those areas. I already know how to make music. Mm. I already know how to get people interested in what I'm doing, so... But, you know, everybody signs different places for different reasons. And that's kind of why people are calling him an industry plant. From what I've, like, seen on social media or what people's telling me, they're saying, like, his manager is, like, a creative director at RCA. So a lot of people that have artists and they're trying to put their artists on, they're kind of, like, pissed. Like, but it's a rigged game. So, you know, maybe that's what's really happening. Maybe not. We'll never really know. But, I mean, it's not, you know, industry plants have been happening since the beginning of time.
But, you know, the thing is, you know, the industry plant, that term is associated usually with somebody claims they're from the hood or, like, you know, they have kind of like this gritty persona. They're like, you ain't really like that. You know what I mean?
That's a plant, though? Nah.
That's a lot of times what it's associated.
If anything, that's the opposite. People use the word industry plant for people who are not street, like Lil Nas X.
Like, they were saying Rollo was like an industry plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, because Jack
Harlow.
He's not
street at all.
But Jack Harlow has to sell people that, like, he's a hip hop artist. He don't look like it. You know what I mean? So it's like industry plans, in my guess, is people that you have to convince to the masses that their look and their style of music is something you should care about or something that is natural. Right.
No, I get you.
You know what I'm saying? I get you, Jack Harlow, you just look at him. You're like, this doesn't look natural. You look at the four bats. You're like, this doesn't look natural. You're singing, but like you in the it looks weird. But, you know, it remains to be seen.
Definitely.
What four bats does. But this Drake feature definitely helps him out. Next topic.
Let's get it.
We're going to kind of go off of this first topic.
That is a good segue.
Where who are some of the rappers that have really good singing voices?
Mm.
You know, in this day and age of hip hop, I think it's pivotal that you are able, you know how to sing. Like back in the day, you can be a Method Man or a Biggie and all you did was rap. Like you got on a song, I am just going to straight rap. Have you ever heard Biggie play with melodies here and there? But like, it almost seemed kind of like they were playing around. You know what I mean? But now I feel like you legit have to know how to put together melodies as a rapper.
Mm.
Now, going back to the whole natural thing, I do think there's a lot of rappers out there that actually naturally have really good singing voices. So with Four Bats in the discussion, who I don't know if he's a rapper, I don't know if he's a singer, I don't know if he's a piano player.
He's an artist. He's
I
an
don't
artist.
Know what he is.
He's an artist.
He looks like a rapper. So it got me thinking.
Yeah, right.
It got me thinking. Who are some of the rappers that, you know, naturally have good singing voices? And I get this started, then I'll pass it to you.
Absolutely, do it.
Kanye West.
Ah, that's a good one.
When Kanye West decides to sing, I actually think he sounds heavenly.
That's a good one.
Like, think about the song with him and John Legend on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. The song that Adam said he hated. I'm drawing a blank on the song.
I can't
but
recall.
There's a bunch of songs where Kanye's voice, I just think, is just fire. He just knows how to, even on this new album, there's a couple of songs where he's singing, and I'm like, yo, I enjoyed his singing part more than I enjoyed Ty Dolla $ign's singing part. So I think Kanye is one of those rappers that naturally have a good voice. So I got it started. So who is a rapper you think that has a really good singing voice?
No, I'm actually kick this to T. I want to hear what you got, man. Can you name somebody? I mean, who's the first one that comes to your head?
Singing voice from a rapper.
Yeah,
I would say it'd be like Kanye and Drake. For how I'd be like,
okay,
oh yeah, Drake, true.
And then yeah, I guess I would say maybe like. That's what I'm saying. Like when we talk about like singing voice or like carry a tune, like I don't know, because I feel like
both
every rapper today is kind of melodic. It's kind of like
yeah, mm-hmm.
like
but some sound really bad.
My parents,
you know what I mean?
Like they'll tell me, I don't know, is this a singer or a rapper? Because they all sound like they're singing. But I would say like maybe Future, but Future's auto tune, so I don't know how he would sound with like his regular voice. A Young Thug.
Young Thug, that's a good.
Young Thug has a really nice voice.
Really?
Like when he, yeah, like if you.
That's a good one.
If you on a Super Slimy collab that he had with what's his name? Future. Speaking of Future, he had this song called "Killed Before."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went crazy.
I know that song.
Or even dropping jewels, he went crazy. The singing voice.
Yo, when he be getting at it, the singing. Nah, he's goated. No, that's you can say not as bad.
Probably like Quavo, maybe.
I was going to say I was actually going to say the opposite. I was like,
for Young Thug?
Quavo sings a lot.
Yeah.
But like, I don't like Quavo singing voice. Like,
you know
what I'm saying?
Nah, I feel you. You know,
is it me?
No, it's not you. You know, okay, so
I think Offset singing voice is all right, but my bad.
No, it's cool. I was actually going to this is tough because you guys named some good ones, like for sure, but I got to, like, now it's about, how do we define rapper? But nonetheless, mm-hmm. I'm going to name some That's people. Good, yeah. Okay. Post Malone.
Oh,
incredible voice.
Is he a rapper?
See, I know y'all going to question,
okay, fine,
y'all gonna
fine,
question
fine,
if he's
fine,
a rapper or not.
Fine, fine,
His
fine.
Voice is incredible to
incredible
me.
Incredible singing voice, yes.
Also,
YNW Melly. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's great.
YNW Melly is probably the GOAT, like, in terms of his voice, his singing voice.
You know who low-key got a good voice? And maybe it's just me. It mm-hmm. might just be me. Mm-hmm. Kid Cudi's voice. Mm-hmm. When he harmonizes, mm-hmm. it's top tier. Mm-hmm. No joke. It's top tier.
I think he has a very unique voice. I mean, a good singing voice and a very unique voice. But, I mean, I don't want to skip over YNW Melly. Like, YNW Melly, the way he delivers his melodies is unbelievable.
Agreed.
Even though, like, in his, he's, like, talking about killing people. He's like, hey, man, I just shot this person. I'm like, yo, dog, like... It sounds amazing. Also, like YNW Melly is somebody.
Lil Durk too, but like at this point, is Durk even like a rapper? He's like more like a melodic.
You see,
it's like,
know, right?
You know, like melodic rappers.
Yeah,
I agree with that, and that's why it's like that's why the you said who'd you say you were talking to your parents? You said, and they were like, "This guy is he a rapper? Who is this guy? He sings." People are confused now. Like, number one, I don't even know how I didn't bring this guy up. Number one, he is number one for me. Mm-hmm. Rod Wave.
Oh,
Rod Wave's voice.
Yeah.
Rod might Wave's be voice. Number one in rap as a rapper mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. His voice is incredible mm-hmm. when he really sings, you know. He has to harmonize and he can come up with the melodies mm-hmm. and he can make you feel it with the sincerity in his mm-hmm. in his tone, you know what I'm saying? He really understands music. He really understands his voice and mm-hmm. what it does over these over his beats, you know?
And I'm gonna bring up sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. But I was gonna say
Go for it.
Rod Wave is, and to be honest, Rod Wave is really like a country or blues artist, but since he's young and like black, we just automatically say he's a rapper.
That's a whole nother discussion.
That's a hot take.
That's a whole nother discussion.
Wait, hold up now. Let's explore that just slightly.
He raps though.
Country and blues?
That's the vibe.
Why you say that?
He does rap, but like, it's like, when you listen to Rod Wave, it's kind of me. I'm not the biggest Rod Wave fan, so I don't want to like. Maybe I could be wrong, but when I listen to him, it's like kind of like a lot of like pain and sorrow in his music.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of like blues music, and then you know,
it's definitely blues.
I got you.
I don't know. I do country in there maybe because he's from the south, so I might be wrong about the country. But.
you might be. Yo, you stereotyping.
I get it.
You stereotyping him,
though.
Bro. Come on, man.
I get it.
It's like
though.
Nah. I totally get it.
I wanted to
his content is definitely blues esque. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. What's up?
I wanted to bring an OG into this that I don't think ever gets enough credit for, like, how much he's helped mold what hip hop is today. Q-Tip. I think Q-Tip's singing voice, you know, like he dropped Vibrant Thing and stuff like that. There's moments in which he sings a little bit. And I think he has like a really, really good singing voice, like one of the best I've ever heard as a rapper. And that one's, he's a clear cut rapper. Like Q-Tip's a clear cut rapper. But like he is one of the first people when I first started listening to music, like that I noticed, like, yo, like this is a rapper that knows how to sing.
And don't forget J. Cole.
You know, I was going to bring up J. Cole. You know, J. Cole definitely is. Yo, when Jake, you're 100% right. When J. Cole, a lot of these dudes, man, it's same thing with the Young Thug. Like, I would actually use the same argument with Young Thug as J. Cole. Mm-hmm. When they try, it's great. But a lot of times, Cole, you know.
He used to sing.
He don't be
more.
Trying. It reminds me of, like, Wale. Like, Wale be doing a lot of melodic. He tries a lot melodically, but, like, he don't always execute, in my opinion.
But, you know, the thing is, like, you see, what I guess with the topic, what I was really trying to say was, like, which one do you think has a good voice? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think Wale has a great singing voice.
Neither do I.
He does put together good melodies. I think J. Cole's voice is cool, you know, but, like, a guy like Q-Tip, like, is like, dog, this guy has, like, a amazing voice.
Like,
you know,
I said,
what I'm saying?
Like I said, I got out of the
YNW Melly, too.
YNW
like, you know
Melly's
I mean?
Boy. Kanye West.
Kanye.
For sure.
Kanye.
I brought up Rod Wave, man. Like, his voice is incredible to me. And I feel like it's undeniable. You guys agree or not?
I think it's okay.
It's okay?
His voice is okay. I think he has a lot of passion. Like, he's a very good, passionate singer. But, like, you know what I mean? But I don't know if his voice, but... I just wanted to bring that topic up. I'm very curious to see what people got to say in the comments.
Yes. That's a good point. And if you guys are, you know, interested in this conversation, when we put this out on social, y'all tap in, man.
Yes, sir.
Who are some of the top rappers that have the best vocals to you? Let us know in the comments.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it. The next topic, which is about relationships.
Oh,
you know what's so funny? Last episode,
You got me getting up out of my own house.
There you go.
All right.
Yo, last episode. Well, then leave then. I can do the show with T. It's cool. It's like, nah. Yo, last episode we talked about relationships and what they do for an artist's image. Yep. It's so interesting, right? And so with this particular topic, it's less about the artist side and it's more just about. We've seen recently Drea, former basketball wife, you know, I guess socialite.
Drea Michelle,
right? She is in a relationship with a 22-year-old Jalen Green, who plays for the Houston Rockets. And their age gap is crazy. I believe it's like 17 years, 18 years, something like that. And she just announced she was pregnant, by the way. So, you know, hopefully they have a healthy pregnancy and all that, you know. Anyway, this topic is more about, is there a double standard when it comes to relationships with men and women? Bro, we seen years ago when August Alsina was messing with Jada.
Yep.
Yo, the conversation was
entanglement.
Wasn't, they had a whole entanglement. The conversation was never about, hey, yo, she got like 30 years on homeboy. Like,
that's
true. Something's a little odd
because
about this.
Because there
were
several layers that needed to be addressed.
Untangled.
Addressed
they
first.
They needed to be untangled first. You know what I'm saying? But I guess without trying to serious this out, because, you know, this can go as serious as we want it to go. But, like, just in general, do you find it odd? Does it bother you? Does it make you uncomfortable? Right? And by the way, because a lot of people like to skate out of this particular conversation. So before y'all try to skate,
yes,
I'm going to personalize this for y'all.
Yes.
If you had a son who was 22 and he was dating a 39-year-old woman, how would you feel? Cause that's really the conversation. Everybody like to
you
be like,
what?
Everybody like to be like, oh, I ain't got nothing to say. It's all good. Love
cheesy.
Is love. What's up? Talk
I'm gonna
to
be
me.
Corny. You know, I just hope for love. You know,
come on,
just
man.
Love.
Love has no age.
Love has no age.
Come on. Man.
You know what I mean? As long as they're 18, love has no age. No. You know, honestly, in real talk, I would probably sit my son down and say, like, what do you love about this person? It's funny. A lot of people cannot answer that question in relationships. You ask somebody like, yo, why did you marry your wife? Oh man, she cool. Like, man, you know what I'm talking about? Like, when we watch NBA games together, like no, like legit. Why?
Yo, why you sound like Soulja Boy? Yo, he literally just sounded like Soulja Boy just now. Like anytime Soulja Boy be going at somebody online, hey man, what you talking about, man? It's Big Draco.
Hey man. What did I tell you? Anytime somebody says, huh? Huh? Hey, so why do you love your wife, huh?
Yeah. But cap is about to ensue, right?
Yeah. So I would sit him down and like, if you give me legit answers to why you love this person as 38, then you know I'm on board with it. I think the big issue, the elephant in the room with this situation, is a lot of people are calling it grooming. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are calling it locking a player down. Mm. Like that's a young jit, like Jalen Rose or Jalen Green, mm-hmm, is a young dude, 22, probably still trying to figure out how to be a grown up, and this lady who's 38 has an opportunity to get pregnant, you know, get pregnant with him, and then now he got child support or whatever to pay. That's what people are saying online, and that's like the biggest thing that people, you know, are having issues with, because this happened with the P.J. Washington. Remember him with the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah, of course.
P.J. Washington, he's with Dallas now.
Brittany Renner.
Dating Brittany Renner.
Yeah.
A lot of people had an issue with it because they thought that, you know, she just wanted to get a baby with him so she can lock down money. You know, I hope not. And at the end of the day, I hope for the best in situations like that. That's all I'm going to say. I hope love is love, and that's what this really is.
Look.
But, you know, I understand the concerns. Let me just put it that way.
Hey, look, listen. Nobody wants to say it, so I'll say it. It's nasty, bro.
Oh, it's nasty. Now let's hear what T got to say. Let's hear what T got to say.
No, I'm gonna kick this to him in a sec here, but it's a bit nasty.
Okay.
And real quick, I just wanted for you guys' knowledge and background. I did some digging, and if you guys recall, in 2020, Marcus Houston, who at the time was 39, married a girl who was 19, and everybody killed him for that age gap, 20 years, which is damn near the same age gap we're talking about here. So nonetheless, just for you guys' knowledge, but T, what do you think, man?
I'm kind of torn in between, because he's 21, so you're old enough to date who you want to date. Mm-hmm. I just think the problem that comes down to it is, like you said, the elephant in the room is that he got her pregnant. So it's that big of an age gap is like, okay. And then you throw the fact that he's like a multi-millionaire athlete. And, you know, I'm not trying to speak on her character. I don't know Drea, so I don't know. But she's known for being a basketball wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's going to get to the bag. That's how, like, the reality of the situation is. Like, so people are looking at her like almost like, yo, she trapped this young man. But I don't know if that's the case. He may have wanted to have a baby with her. No one knows. So the optics of it does look crazy, because if I have a 22-year-old son and he's like, oh, I have this lady pregnant, I'm like, okay, who's a young lady? And then he's like, oh, she's like 39. You wouldn't be like, nah. And then like Houston, like, you're like, no way is my daughter marrying someone that's 39. But at the same time, as a young man too, you know, you might have had the time where he's like, oh, I'm gonna mess with an older woman. She might want to mess with you. So I feel like there's a
problem. It might be what you like.
But
it might be your choice.
I just think it looks bad because of the whole her, like, with her past, and then, like, him just being so young, having a baby. I think the optics just look bad, but we don't know.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like the balance thing. And by the way, like, I'm actually more balanced in this combo than I'm leading on. I'm going to be real with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you're right. At the end of the day, like, we don't know them. We don't know them, right? We don't know what they got going on, and they're he's of legal age, right? Yeah. So we're not talking about like a 16-year-old, 17-year-old dude. At the end of the day, this is more about optics than anything else. And that's why I wanted to personalize this for you guys, because to me, I feel like it's important for us to really get a sense for you know, how things look. And I get things are not necessarily going to look great every time, but to me, I feel like based on her past, based on her track record, this looks more like hunting. And I want to use the word grooming, because he's not a minor, but more about like targeting a particular type of dude, which isn't necessarily a problem, but given the age gap, it looks a bit nasty. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
and I have to say that.
Let me close it out. I might go over a little bit, but I think the problem, because the double standard, just want to tackle that real quick.
Yeah, yeah, and then we'll move on to the next.
So the double standard, I think, is legit, because when you see a man do that, they tend to do way worse. Like, let's say a woman, right? Like Drea, okay. Drea, let's say the worst case scenario, she did do what she was doing. Okay, she trapped him, and now she's getting child support. Okay, cool. But then you look at a case like Diddy and Cassie. The stuff Diddy's accused of doing to Cassie, accused, alleged,
mm-hmm.
it's way worse than what you've heard what older women have done to men.
For
so,
sure.
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there's always, when it's an older guy, there's always this manipulation.
There you go.
You know, there's always this, oh, yeah, you know, he's trying to make me do this over my will. Like, so that's why the double standard, and I think it's legit. Let's stop getting these situations where we're all
hesitant to use certain words
mm-hmm.
to label on these people, because at the end of the day, we don't know them, right?
It's
like when you use words like manipulation, yeah.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say she's manipulating him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really
mm-hmm.
say that.
True.
How do you prove that, right?
True.
But if it was a dude,
mm-hmm.
people would be using them words freely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, damn, yo, hey, bro, he manipulated her. He got 20 years on her.
But that's what I'm saying. That's just kind of like what...
It's a bit odd.
When
bit
stuff
odd.
Come out back... Because at the end of the day, this... Only way that this is a major, major topic that expands is if something bad comes out.
There you go.
And right now, nothing bad has happened with Drea and Jalen.
It's definitely a.
And I wish them nothing. And I wish them nothing
and,
but
and
the best.
Nothing, you know what I mean?
So I don't want this to. I don't want this.
I hope it's. I'm a fan of love.
It's definitely a double standard. And then, like, for we know, Jalen Green, he may have wanted this. He had, you know, other options too. So you know.
Yeah, I mean, and it's Drea. I mean.
Drea is one of the original baddies. Isn't that pretty obvious? Like, Drea is a baddie.
Yeah. Well, say too, like, for the double standard, we kind of got to, like, almost blame, like, our society. Like, I think since, like, we're young, like, since, like, at least from dude's perspective, since, like, we're young of age where you start, like, watching, like, adult, you know, not going to say, but, like, adult stuff, like, MILFs are, like, pushed on young men, like, oh, I want a MILF. So a lot of guys just get older. There is a genre for this. Yeah, you know, a lot of guys are older, like, I'm gonna fuck with an older girl because I've seen it, and it's kind of like in your head almost. Like, we have raps about MILFs and shit. Like, so, like, this is like,
yeah, that's true.
You ain't lying. No, that's a great point. That is a great. What do you guys out there think though? I mean, do you have an issue with the age gap or the quote unquote double standard in women dating? Older women dating younger men? Y'all let us know in the comments. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah. Damn, this is a deep episode. Are black men under attack?
All I gotta say is pause real quick.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, saying pause just in general.
Okay.
Not
okay.
pause the episode, but pause,
oh, pause.
Before
okay.
this conversation. Go ahead.
Okay.
Anyway, continue.
All right, we're deep.
Yeah.
All right.
Pause.
Are black... See, you're the problem.
I'm just kidding, man.
You're
Damn.
The problem.
I'm joking, man. Right. It's okay. Damn.
So, lately... There's been a lot of episodes on Twitter of black men celebrities trying to be outed. Like, for instance, Shannon Sharp. This is the new thing. Ever since Shannon Sharp had his interview with Cat Williams, I feel like every other week I hear either a comedian trying to call him gay or, you know, a podcast person trying to call him gay. You know, he's stated multiple times he's not gay. He stated, I have kids and this, that, but it's still not working. People are still calling him gay. They're watching his every move, how he moves, his mannerisms and all that. Another story came out was Meek Mill and Diddy in a document that was a part of a lawsuit alleging that Diddy and Meek Mill had a sexual relationship. Meek denied it. Usher was a part of it too.
Yep.
But throughout Twitter, there's jokes. Meek is gay. Meek this, that. He's handled it decently. I mean, his tweets I don't love, but I think he's handled it decently. But I just feel like, you know, especially as of late, there's this push to try to out like a bunch of black celebrities. Mm. Will Smith has always been trying to be outed.
Mm.
you know, just a lot of people, Kanye, you know, so like, how do you feel about that? Is that true? Is what I'm saying true, or am I like, is an exaggeration? What?
No, there's some, look, there's some truth to, there's some truth to the narrative that black men are, quote unquote, under attack, right? And I say under attack because, yeah, man, it's like for whatever reason, there's always this underlying discrediting attempt by society to try to pull down or to try to discredit black men when they're successful. Now, now listen. Uh-oh. I'm not going to go super hard because we really only got about 8 minutes on this topic.
Yep.
But let's call it for what it is, though. Like you said, man, Shannon Sharp, what evidence has been given to actually suggest that he's gay? Mm. Right? I mean, like, I get it. People are saying he has a gay stylist, which is actually a fact.
Oh, he does?
He has a gay stylist. It's a fact. He's been seen courtside with his stylist at, like, Lakers games and whatnot. Mm. But, like, y'all are mad at the way he walks. Who cares? Like, nobody
he's
was
had two hip replacements.
He's had two hip replacements. Yo, he hopped out the Suburban. Mm-hmm. He was trying to go to a Total Wine signing.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a pink purse on his hip, but like, damn, but he had, why he got to be gay? Because he got a pink purse. It's like, nah. But no, it to me, it's just a bit odd. And also, I actually will disagree with you on the Meek Mill point. I think Meek Mill handled that horribly. Like, all Meek Mill had to do was say, bro, I'm not gay. What the hell are y'all talking about? Like, well, I don't know where this is coming from. Yo, Meek Mill went as far to talk to describe how much he likes women
JJ.
By tweeting out. Yeah, nah, I be smashing twice a day, and I be running red lights for it.
That was
and
weird.
Ain't no way. I'm like, come on, bro, you're doing too much.
That was weird. But I say he handled it well because, like, I would think Meek Mill would go off on tangents. Like, Meek Mill is a tangent dude, but, like, he's kind of laughing it off. Like, I think that is handling it well. But
I think he started – I'll kick this to you in a sec, T, but he started handling it well once Andrew Schultz got at him on stage.
Yeah.
That was, like, when he lightened up and was like, all right. Like, and even his response to that was still kind of questionable. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He had some typos in there, made it sound kind of weird.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, T, what do you think, man? Do you feel like black men are easily labeled as gay? Has it become a problem, in your opinion?
All right, so you said a good word. You said to discredit. I agree with that. I feel like they kind of do sometimes throw the gay label on black men to discredit and invalidate them sometimes. But it's crazy because, like, as we all know, it's not necessarily anything wrong with being gay. But it's like whenever they say someone's gay, we automatically, the word you said, discredit and invalidate them. So it was like, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, okay, I already told, like, all right, we don't have a problem with gay people, but if someone were to say, oh, he's gay, it's like we don't even, they're almost canceled. So if they're black, only if they're black. Like if other races, they do that, we don't really care. But when you're a black man and they throw the gay label on you, kind of try to invalidate you and discredit you. So, there's always that factor. That's why, like, you see these black men go hard and say, I'm not gay. Because one, maybe they're really not, and, like, you don't want to be labeled something you're not. And then two, if you are or if you're not, regardless, they kind of try to discredit you once. They throw those allegations on you. So I think that's why we see people like Meek react horribly. I agree, he reacted horribly. Because if it's not true, just don't say anything, bro. You don't have to prove to anybody.
Usher ain't say nothing.
But I would say Usher the pictures nothing. Of Shannon Sharp and Meek, like the memes people were making were hilarious. Because the way Shannon got out the car was hilarious. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That looked weird.
It was funny because it was like, it was one of those days where it was super warm, like in New York. And like girls just post on their story how I get out the car when it's warm. And so it was but,
that's funny.
I mean, funny. I would say, yeah, they try to discredit and kind of invalidate people with that label. So that's why I don't always buy into it. And then the bigger thing is, if he is, it's like, okay, so what? There's way worse shit going on. So if this person is gay,
facts.
Who cares?
No, facts. That's a fact. I like the way you ended on that. And look, man, I just got to say this, man. We got to be very careful as a society, man. We really got to be careful, man, because like you said, very important point you said, there's nothing wrong with being gay. If that's your lifestyle and that's how you are and that's you, do you. Mm-hmm. But And if we want to have, and we if we want to say that that's okay, mm-hmm. but then weaponize that very thing that we are saying is okay and put it on people who are not gay, right? Then it kind of contradicts, mm-hmm. right, the progress that's made to the people who are saying, the people who are actually gay, right? So, like, it's just weird when it's being weaponized, you know, and especially towards guys who we'll say we think are not gay. Like, we don't know these people, right? We don't know Shannon Sharpe gay or not. It ain't even important. Mm-hmm. But what is unfortunate is the weaponization of it. And I think that that is a bigger issue right now. And Meek Mill, he went as far to say, man, yo, these blogs is who he's trying to get. He went in and enlisted the CIA investigators. Yo, he trying to get to the bottom of who's saying. Spreading the rumors and the blogs.
He went crazy.
But at least, like, he's not angry on Twitter. Like, he's not showing off. Because at the end of the day, the issue is social media. Social media is the root of all evil now. It's up there with money. Money and social media are the roots of all evil. Yeah. And I think social media is just harsh. I mean, I think a lot of it's trolling.
Facts.
But I if you ask me, I don't think most of the people that are calling Meek gay actually think he's gay. I think, like you said, they're weaponizing it, that term.
And it's for jokes.
I don't think, like you said, I don't care if he is.
Right.
But I personally don't believe it. He doesn't give me that vibe.
Yeah, me neither.
But, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's social media. It's Twitter. It's Twitter. Or
social,
X.
I like that. Money was the root of all evil, but it might be social media.
Social media
might be the root of all evil.
Yeah.
I like
that.
And with that, let's put a button on that conversation. That was a good one.
Yeah.
We hope you guys are going to enjoy that. You know, let us know in the comments, you know, are black men under attack? I don't know. Maybe we're tripping. Mm-hmm. Y'all let us know, though.
Yeah.
Next topic and last topic.
Yep.
Snoop Dogg. Recently sat down with
Double G?
Yeah, the OG dog. You recently sat down with the podcast, and he was flabbergasted at the fact that he only received $45,000. Yes, I said $45,000, not $450,000.
Which is still a lot of money, by the way.
Sure, in the real world, yes. $45,000 for a song that he apparently made that accumulated 1 billion streams. Now, I'll be honest with you. I did some digging.
Mm-hmm. You and this damn digging.
I did some digging, bro.
What the hell are you?
I heard Grave Digger Mountain.
Hamster?
I heard Grave Digger Mountain, man. What do you want me to do, man? I heard the album.
What is damn right? digging?
But no, real talk, though, because I think a lot of people are, I'll say uninformed mm-hmm. on the matter mm-hmm. of streaming. I'll be real with you. Mm-hmm. And I was one of them mm-hmm. until I, again, did some digging. Anyway.
This guy. You're about to see somebody get slapped on a podcast.
No, but real talk, though. You know, I don't think people understand quite how music is set up, right? So just real quick, I'm not the authority on this. I just did some Googling. But nonetheless, there's two sides of music, a song, I should say. There's the master recording / royalty side, and then there's the publishing side, right? There's the licensing, you know, how music is played in movies and, you know, TV shows and all the different things that you can license your music out to do, right? Commercials and stuff like that. Nonetheless, it was very key. If you go back and watch that clip, Snoop Dogg specifically said, I hollered at my publisher and he said, I'm only getting $45,000 for this 1 billion stream song. Now, that was key because now you got to start asking questions. What song was this? What was his percentage on the song that he's referring to, right? Like, that's important.
Nonsense.
That's important.
Nonsense.
No, it's important for this particular conversation because it's Nonsense. Misleading if we don't provide that level of context.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
The bigger discussion, and I'll
malarkey.
You say that. I'll kick this to you because you wanted to talk about this. What are your thoughts on what he said?
Well, first, we were surprised. So we looked this up yesterday.
Yep.
We were surprised to find out what that number one, that Billy song was. And it was Young, Wild, and Free with Wiz Khalifa and Bruno Mars, which is crazy, right? I thought it was going to be Beautiful. I thought, you know, that's just the type of song that's played internationally. like, and all that stuff, but it was actually Young, Wild, and Free. But the replayability of Young, Wild, and Free is fire.
And also, real quick, you know what I mean? It actually makes sense why it's Young, Wild, and Free versus Beautiful, because Beautiful is pre-streaming.
True, right? True.
That's pre-streaming. Point. Like, whereas Young, Wild, and Free was, like, at the start of streaming. But anyway.
Good point. Keep going. But I think at the end of the day, I always say this. Music doesn't get the respect that it deserves. Ever. Like, we go to work. We be parents. Like, I'm a parent now. Like, the importance of music in our daily activities is very, very important. Like, some is, like, to boost our moods. You know, some is to get a party started. Yeah. Some is when you're in the club, the music is the club. I'm not going into a club that's not playing music. So for a song to get a billion streams, which means it is played at clubs, which means it's played at functions, which means it's something people play, it's probably healing depression. And for that main artist to only get $45,000 is crazy. It's worth. How is it the worth of the song is probably worth at least a couple million? But the artists that made it don't have that couple million. I just don't get it. Now, in that case, Young, Wild, and Free, I will say this. There's multiple people that had to get paid for that. Bruno Mars, Wiz Khalifa, and Snoop.
And the producers.
Let's be real.
And the producers.
Let's be real. There's ill-advised wise guys. Let's be real. Snoop was the worst part of that song. But Bruno Mars should probably get the most, you know, money from that song because he made the song. But at the end of the day, even if you cut a Billy into three, and I think it was like 14. That's still like what? 500 million each? If they got $1 for every stream. So, I don't know. I just think more respect needs to be put on the impact music has on our daily lives.
I'll be honest. We can have a bigger discussion probably on a later episode because there's a lot to unpack with this. Because now when you say that, it now you're essentially saying that music is devalued,
yes,
and that people don't put respect on it, including the money that's paid out. And so at the end of the day,
yes,
we were talking about this before the episode dropped, T, and I know you work with a lot of rising artists, you know, interviews and covering them and whatnot. And I just feel like it sets a bad precedent when Snoop Dogg is out here talking about he got paid $45,000 for a song that accumulated a billion streams. Mm-hmm. Yo, in your opinion, do you think that's like a discouraging thing for artists, or should they just keep going along with the current model that's done, right, of what's going on today? What would you say to that?
I think that should be super discouraging because even though Snoop may have, or like it's debatable if he had the worst part, when that song came out, Snoop was like the biggest artist. So he's probably the reason why that song is as famous as it is.
That's true.
So
that's
true. For him to only get 45,000 is crazy. And this is Snoop Dogg. So like it just, if I'm an artist and I'm seeing this, I'm like, this is a legendary rapper and he's only getting 45,000. What am I going to get from this song? So I think it should wake artists up. That's why like kind of more people are saying like, music industry is like dead. Like a lot of artists now that have podcasts like this, they have the information available. People are like, why would I sign? Like, I could just make my 45,000 come to me and like that would be all me and my management. Cause you gotta think it's like, okay, the label is getting the money. Then it's like, okay, are these three guys maybe sign a different label? So that has to be split that way. Then you have all these, like you said, people in these divisions, these departments. Then his team has to split it up, and then you get the leftovers when you're an artist. So he just got that was the leftover money they kind of gave him. But I don't know how his deal is set up. It's like it could be a lot of factors, but if I'm an artist and I'm seeing this, it's like streaming is not going to get you money whether you're signed or you're not signed. You just got to find different ways. I think it's going back to the days of like artists got to do the merch website and have to download music from like a website or something like, instead of going to a streaming service. It just has to, you have to kind of beat the system. The system is like outdated and it's set up to like for you not to get paid. So
yeah, I love and that's why I wanted to get your take on that, because again, because like to me, this is this is less about Snoop and it's more about like just this set. This is just horrible. It's a horrible look as a whole for the whole industry.
Yeah.
And if I'm an up and coming rapper, I'm looking at that like, bro, this is not working. This won't work for me. You know what I'm saying?
And the numbers aren't numbers.
The numbers is the math ain't mathing. The numbers right?
ain't numbering.
And I will actually go as far to say that if I'm an up and coming artist, rapper, I would rather be considered a YouTube rapper than just a regular, not a regular, but like, you know, basically everybody else. Because when the reason I say that is because you look at people like DDG who got his come up on YouTube, right? DDG was a content creator turned rapper. He was already a millionaire off YouTube. By the time he started making music, he don't really care whether the joint is like he getting a million. He's it's making side, bread, man. Bro.
Yeah.
Or you somebody like Dax. Dax, you know, he got in an altercation a long time ago. A lot of people know him from the Tory Lanez situation. Yeah, but if you know anything about Dax, whether you like his music or not, he is a successful artist because he puts out and packages music at his own pace. And he utilizes YouTube like more than a lot of artists do. So what I'm trying to say is, I just think artists got to get more creative these days.
Can I say this? I know we're past the time, but can I say this? To play devil's advocate, which I know a lot of people are not going to like.
Okay.
Why should Spotify owe you? You know, I'm putting Spotify, if I'm Spotify, I'm giving you the exposure to even get money. Like, if I'm Spotify, I can be like, yo, okay, if you don't like it, then don't sign up with us. Go figure out how you're going to get money somewhere else.
Of course. Right?
So, or like, let's say you're a guy like, you know, Russ, who says he makes his own beats. He, you know, let's say he pays for his production tools and he, you know, makes songs that don't really cost him much money. Maybe he's investing just a couple of dollars here and there into the creation of the song. A return for Spotify, that's like a 100 times return, you know what I mean, from the money you're actually spending to make a song, you know what I mean? And like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, I mean, it's okay.
And like, so I'm thinking
it's a legit question.
There's probably some people on Spotify, because at the end of the day, guess what, guys? Spotify is not ran by people that love music. Spotify is ran by business people. So they don't care what it took for y'all to make the song. They don't have, they may not have passion for the artist. They want a good return in their investment. And so I can see them literally being like, why do we owe you?
All right, look, but you here's the thing. And you're absolutely right. Spotify is a tech company, right? Mm-hmm. They're in business to make their for profit. Exactly. They're not non-profit, right? They're already taking a 30% hosting fee, right? So they collect 30% of the revenue on a song, which you could argue if that's a high number or low number. I don't really care. Like, I think, hey, they're the biggest platform in the world. It's less about how much money they're taking from the overall revenue. I actually think it's a good number. 30%, it makes sense. The conversation is more about the other 70%, right? So all the money that's being generated from the music, again, if you're an up-and-coming artist, you now have to make smart decisions as to who you work with, whether you own the music that you are putting out, or are you signing with indie labels who are taking all your rights? Are you signing with major labels that are taking your rights? This is more of that conversation to me. It's not about Spotify. People getting caught up Spotify, they robbing. The bigger discussion, there's multiple bigger discussions, obviously, but like streams are worthless. Like, how the hell does does one play equate to like 3 cents or like 0.00003 cents?
Can I fix this?
It makes no sense.
Can I fix this?
Talk to me.
I have a solution.
And round it out.
I have a solution. Or T, you want to say anything? I was going to round it out.
I was pretty much saying, yeah, that's probably the bigger thing. Like, Spotify is getting the blame, but it's like, still, they're a service. You pay for services. So you want to put your music on Spotify, you're going to pay us. And they're not wrong for that. But now, like you said, there's 70% of money. Like, I understand a label should get their portion because they're putting it out and stuff, but that shouldn't be 70%. And that's where it comes down to. Like, this is where your contracts come down to and stuff, and like all this stuff. But it's like, I mean, it's I don't think it's ever going to be fixed. This is the game. If you don't want to play the game, don't play it.
I have a fix for it. I have a fix for Spotify.
That's very sobering, by the way. You just turned a lot of people off.
I got a fix.
From getting into music by them statements, my brother.
If you want I got a fix.
Own revenue, you gotta do it yourself. If you're gonna seriously. Do these service based things, they want money and they're gonna take your money.
Yeah.
They're gonna make.
Exactly. By the way, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Like you said, you're in business terms. You're the investment, and they want their return on investment, and they don't really care. They just want their money back.
Exactly. There you have it. Like, let's stop demonizing Spotify, right? Because at the end of the day, they're a business. But I got a fix, real quick. I got a fix. I'm gonna fix this.
Okay.
In the NBA, right? There's contracts. Not everybody has the same amount of money. Right, LeBron James makes $60 million, while let's say somebody on the back of the bench makes $1 million. Right, like it's completely different. It's layered. Spotify fixes this by making everybody sign a contract, and you get to figure out the leverage. So like let's say a guy like Snoop Dogg, you make more money off streams because you're Snoop Dogg. While if you're a new artist that's a no name artist. They throw some type of contract at you. Okay, you're only going to make 3 cents. Because at the end of the day, the problem is it's the big artists that are getting, obviously, what's the word I want to use?
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
It's the bigger artists that are getting
finagled.
Finagled. Thank you.
Finessed.
Thank you.
What are
finessed.
We talking about here?
I think the bigger artists are feeling finagled and finesse. So if you sign a contract to begin and you say, Spotify, I want you to pay me $1 Spotify per stream. Spotify can either take that agreement or not. I think there has to be some type of contract. I don't think it should be where anybody can get on Spotify and everybody gets the same amount of money per stream. I think contracts should be signed. And if you don't like what Spotify suggested to you, then don't use it.
I feel like that kind of limits the art because
I don't like that.
You got people like, let's say,
at all,
Four Bats. Nobody knew who he was, and they put his songs on Spotify and went crazy. Now, if you can't negotiate a contract, you can't upload your music. Not like most people aren't even contract savvy when they sign to a label. So imagine now you have to sign to a label and I have to do a deal with Spotify. They're going to definitely not going to get no money. They're going to get finessed crazy.
But Spotify is not the end all be. Like, we grew up in a culture where, you had to hustle to get to even on TV. You had to hustle to get to TRL. You had to hustle to get to 106 in Park. You had to build a buzz different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we do contracts with Spotify, people are going to get creative with different ways to get their music out there. Right now with Spotify and Apple Music, they've created a monopoly.
Bro,
that is the only way a lot of people listen to music. Let's go back to the old days where people are actually physically handing CDs out. Let's go back to the old days where people are doing other things. They got TikTok. They got YouTube. Let's get creative with how you are getting your music out to the people. So when you get to Spotify, you have leverage. You can sign a contract.
I agree with everything you're saying up until the whole signing contract. I think I agree with the point about get creative with how you put your music out. And that's what a lot of artists who are intentional and like, real business savvy are doing already, right? Whether it's Nipsey Hussle and what he was doing with his music.
But even if it is,
a lot of people have done it.
But the thing about
it's just not common.
But the beauty of contracts is a contract is not lifetime. You can do a 1 year contract, and maybe that 1 year contract, you're like, oh, you guys pay me 10 cents that 1 year. I've elevated in popularity. Now I want 50 cents. I want $1.
Brother.
Like that. That's the beauty of contracts.
I hear what you're saying.
1 year contract.
I hear what
you're
saying. We ain't going to solve that. We ain't going to solve that on this episode. I think we got to put the power back into the people's hands.
Well, power to the people?
No, bro, put the power in the people's hands. If you're an artist, control your own destiny. Put your music out creatively. Leverage both. Go do your independent grind. Sell t-shirts like you were saying earlier, T. Mm-hmm. Sell merch, right? Hand out your stuff. Maybe do what D1. Y'all know D1, right? Who gets a lot of controversy for his takes on like all these, street rappers. He's saying like a lot of people they mess, they confusing the community. You know about him, right?
No, I don't. But keep going.
Anyway, he T is nodding his head. I think he knows what I'm talking about. I think. Anyway, he's creative, right? He's a Harvard professor.
Yeah.
He puts his music out on his website. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, he allows people to bid their own price on his music. It's the same thing that LaRussell was doing. Y'all know LaRussell, right?
Yeah.
LaRussell does the same thing.
Yeah.
If you are a supporter of me, you might want to give me $30 for my album. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, or you might have a dollar to give me. Like, tap into your community.
More creative. We got to get more creative.
I'm telling you, like, but you can also put your music on Spotify and do both.
Not if you sign that. Got to sign that contract.
Hey, man.
And think about it, for upcoming artists, you might make more off of merch and, like, doing shows and handing your stuff out than you will from a Spotify split.
Bingo.
Exactly. So, 100%.
So, 100%. I mean, with that, like I said, we ain't going to solve it on this, but I do think the system does need to be reformed. Like, something ain't working.
Contracts.
We know that.
Contracts.
But what do you guys think?
Start sending out NIL money.
Yeah. It's funny. You actually, when you were saying that, it made me think of the NIL, right?
NIL money.
Y'all drop y'all solutions in the comments. How do you think the streaming system can be fixed, you know? Or do you think there's no problem at all, you know? It's up to y'all. With that, we've reached the end of the episode. T, real quick, talk about Diamond Cut and what you got going on, and also just shout out, you know, your socials and whatnot.
Yeah, so Diamond Cut Media are actually working on the fourth issue of our magazine, which will be coming out this September. Don't want to spoil too much on it. We're still in the works of that right now, so be on the lookout. Issue 3 dropped in the summer of 2023, so that's still up for digital and physical copies. You can go on our website, and you can still order the digital copy of issue 2 and issue 1 on the website. Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, every day we're covering upcoming music, mainstream music, interviews, you know, just covering different topics in hip-hop culture, black culture, pop culture. And yeah, and then this year we're just taking it up another level. Once the weather gets warmer too, we'll be hitting the streets in New York, so we'll start doing some live content, stuff like that too. So we just, you know, just trying to get the brand more visible. And we're on all social media, Diamond Cut, K-U-T for the cut, media. The website is diamondcutmedia.com. If you type in Diamond Cut Media on Google, you'll just see all of our socials. But not the Diamond Cut Media with a C. Somebody stole our name with a C. We're the ones with the K.
I hear you, man. Yeah. Hey, y'all know what to do, man. Y'all tap into his movement. I really like what you're doing, man. Thanks. It's you know, anytime I see somebody who's creating a platform,
I love it.
And just like is grinding and is intentional, and they keep adding to the brand, right? You got the magazine, then you got the features, and bro, it's really dope. We're also in that space, so I see a lot of what, you know, we're doing in you, and you know, I feel like that's how we're able to really vibe. But anyway, there's a lot of people out there too who also have their own platform. And speaking of the conversation we just had, put the power back into the people. Create your own platform. Try to monetize it in a creative way. It's easy to go work for somebody.
Yep.
You know, but hey, it's harder to kind of build it on your own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So salute to you, man, for doing that, man. Yes, sir, man. And with that, we reached the end of the episode. If you've made it this far, y'all know what to do. Hit that subscribe button on your way out. Hit that like button. Share this with a friend. Any last words?
No. Contracts, actually. Contracts.
Contracts?
Let's get them contracts started, Spotify.
Hey, social media. Social media is the root of all evil.
I like that.
I like that. That struck a chord with me. I'm not going to lie. That might be the episode title.
It will be.
And as always, if you're giving advice, just make sure that thing is ill.
Yes, sir.
Bow!
Yes, sir.